Today, if you haven't caught on to it by now, today, of course, is the beginning of the new church year, which is Advent. So what exactly is this Advent that we keep talking about? And when did it begin? You know, living as we do in an age of where everything is hurry, 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 we got to have it right now, Christmas decorations start appearing in stores, urging us to buy, 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 as soon as the remains of the Thanksgiving turkey are stuffed in the refrigerator. Well, maybe that's the way it used to be, but it seems like now that Christmas begins even earlier. It may be as soon as the witches, the ghosts, and the jack-o'-lanterns decorations of Halloween start coming down. Or then again, it may be even earlier than that. This rush to Christmas may be beneficial to the stores who make the most of their annual income during this season, but as Christians, we must remember that there is a very, very important season on the church calendar that comes first. Advent. Advent is not something that was just dreamed up to sell Advent wreaths, chocolate Advent calendars, or even purple and pink candles. The season of Advent is a time to anticipate, a time of preparation, and a time of remembrance. The name Advent comes from the Latin adventus, meaning coming or arrival. You know, my Latin teacher, Mrs. Smith, would probably roll over in her grave if she knew I was trying to speak Latin even today. There are three aspects in our celebration of Advent. The first is the anticipation of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into this fallen world. The second aspect is the second coming of Jesus that all Christians look forward to, when he will return to judge both the living and the dead. This is the main focus of today's readings. The third aspect is Jesus coming into our lives, into our hearts, our minds, and our souls, not just once, but every day. As we anticipate these Advents, the season of Advent provides us with a time in which we prepare ourselves for his Advent. It is not a time to rush headlong into the Christmas season, trying to discern all of the toys being advertised. Which one would Susie or Timmy or Johnny or any of your other grandchildren would appreciate, and it would last past New Year's Day. Some toys just don't last that long anymore. The season of Advent gives us a time to stop, a time to pray, a time to fast, and a time to seek forgiveness and to rededicate our lives in preparation for his arrival. It is also a time to bring the gift of his love to those around us, those who need him so much in their lives. As you see from the Advent wreath that has been lighted to celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, it is composed of three purple candles, or violet if you choose to call it violet, one pink, or as we call it, the rose candle, and one white candle. Some churches may use four purple candles, and some may use three or four blue candles rather than the purple ones. The color of purple that we use is associated with solemnity and somberness, which is representative of penitence and fasting during the season of Advent. The pink, or rose candle if you prefer, symbolizes joy, which Father Eric will address in his class following today's service. Please join him for that. The wreath is used because it represents a continuous circle, no beginning and no ending, which will emphasize the eternity of God's kingdom. In today's gospel from Luke 21, we get a glimpse of the parousia, an ancient Greek word meaning presence, arrival, or official visit. In biblical context, it refers to the second coming of Christ Jesus. Leading up to the reading, beginning with verse 5, we see someone, The Gospel of Mark says it was one of the disciples telling Jesus how wonderful the temple looked with its noble stones and offerings. I realize I'm getting a little ahead of today's reading. I'm bringing this up so that you have an idea of where we're going. Well, here's the disciples there. Jesus, look at this beautiful temple. Look at all the wonderful rocks that are here. All the wonderful stones that have been cut and put in here. All of the decorations, all the gold. Wow, this place is so nice. But then Jesus gives a warning of destruction. As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Interrupting their joy, he's reminding him that there will be a time when all of these things will not be anymore. Don't be deceived by your eyes, Jesus says. Although you cannot perceive it now, total destruction is going to come. As I look at this, Jesus is foretelling not just the destruction of the temple, but of all the things that will come on the day of judgment. See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. In the next verses, 10 through 24, Jesus lays out a very frightful foretelling of what is to come. The earthquakes, the famines, the wars, great destruction, and the persecution to be endured. But he says in verses 13 through 14, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. I think that's something that each and every one of us should take quite a bit to heart. Jesus is telling us, when trials come upon us, this is our opportunity to take the love of Jesus Christ and what he has done in our lives out to the people around us that they might understand and not think that we are just going through a world of suffering with no end, a suffering with no peace, a suffering with no Jesus. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. Don't think about it. Don't be thinking about it. Do not, he is saying, give up. Don't think about it. Just give up. Trust in me. Let me speak through you. For you won't even have to think about how you should address those who persecute you. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or to contradict. Such wisdom comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. He appears to be saying, I will empower you to withstand all that can come against you for my name's sake. And he continues, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, by your sticking with it, you will gain your lives. As we come to today's gospel reading, verses 25 through 33, Jesus foretells what will occur on that great day when he comes again, as he foretold. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. Nature is going to be making all kinds of weird things, leading us to fear of what is to come. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You can see, even today, that the fear that many people have right now of the things that might endanger their lives and their fortunes. Some dread things here on earth, such as droughts, earthquakes, and floods. Some blame global warming or global cooling, depending on what the favorite calamity is in vogue for the time that you're looking at, for the destruction of our lifestyle. Millions and billions of dollars are being spent or projected to be spent to assuage the fears they have over anticipated calamities. Scientists have even got a projectile that they launched from Vandenberg Space Force Base last Tuesday here in California. The projectile is on its way to intercept an asteroid. The course of this asteroid is not one that would in any way endanger Earth, but it is being used to test an idea and to test the technology to try and redirect that asteroid. It is feared that someday an asteroid might possibly pose a threat to life here on Earth, and they are testing to see if we have the ability to intercept an even larger asteroid, bearing the things that are not here yet. Going back to verse 26, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You know, the state of fear and foreboding of what is to come is not the home of those who believe in the salvation promised by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, the promise of Jesus Christ to take the true believers home to be with him at the right hand of God the Father, as we find in John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. This is the promise of Jesus, that he will prepare a place for us and that he will return and take us home with him. Verse 27, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things come to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree, and look at all of the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is coming. You live here in this world. You see all of these things. You don't have to be a specialist in nature. You just can observe all the things that happen. You can see that when the trees start budding and the leaves start coming out, things are changing. You know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, again, my words will not pass away. Be observant, Jesus is telling us. You know the signs of nature. Now, use what I have taught you to know that the kingdom of God is near. No matter what happens, even when the heavens and the earth pass away, my words, which formed the heavens and the earth, will not pass away. The first Sunday of Advent is a reminder of the promises of Jesus Christ that he would be here with us now and forever. His second coming, as foretold, will come. This is not a time for fainting, not a time for fretting, but a time to stop, to pray, and know that the promises of Jesus Christ are everlasting and not subject to the things of this earth, only to your faith in him. I have a little story here to bring us to a conclusion. It comes from Dr. David Jeremiah. When John F. Kennedy was president of the United States, Life magazine published photos of his children, John Jr., known as JJ, or Carolyn, playing with their toys on the floors of the Oval Office. Those images captured the hearts of the American people like nothing before or since. Why? I think it was because, Dr. Jeremiah says, it bridged the gap between two thoughts. Kennedy was the president of the United States, but he was also a father. He held ultimate political power in the free world, but playing at his 2 feet were two little kids who called him Daddy. I don't think your kids would have been allowed to do that, nor mine, but his kids were. Why? He was their father. He was not only President of the United States, but he was also their dad. In the same way, God is both our Father and the Lord of glory. We can approach him confidently in prayer because we are his dearly beloved children. But we must never forget that he is also the sovereign of the universe. I will close now with a verse that Paul used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. Also that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.